إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. We are on Babu Yabarru Walidayhi Ma Lam Yakum Ma'siyatan. Babun Yabarru Walidayhi Ma Lam Yakum Ma'siyatan. The chapter on the child being dutiful to his parents or her parents. Ma Lam Yakum Ma'siyatan. As long as that does not involve disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The last hadith, we read the hadith of Abu Darda, in which he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him 10 counsels, 10 points of admonition that he ordered him to stick to. And from amongst them, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, وَأَطِعُ وَالِدَيْكِ وَإِنْ أَمَرَكَ أَنْ تَخْرُجَ مِنْ دُنْيَاكَ فَخْرُجْ لَهُمَا وَأَطِعُ وَالِدَيْكِ وَإِنْ أَمَرَكَ أَنْ تَخْرُجَ مِنْ دُنْيَاكَ فَخْرُجْ لَهُمَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam commanded Abu Darda, Raymir ibn Malik, he said, وَإِنْ أَمَرَاكِ, if the two of your parents command you, أَنْ تَخْرُجَ مِنْ دُنْيَاكَ, that you should leave your worldly possessions. فَخْرُجْ لَهُمَا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave it to them, leave it for them, give it to them. But from the chapter heading that Al-Imam al-Bukhari has given, there are two issues connected to this statement, why he has placed this hadith under this chapter. The first of them is that the child at every point in time, yarhamukallah, the child at every point in time must pay good attention to kindness to his parents. It is compulsory for the child to be dutiful to his parents. And this phrase in this hadith said, وَإِنْ أَمَرَكَ أَنْ تَخْرُجَ مِنْ دُنْيَاكَ فَخْرُجْ لَهُمَا. Even if they say, go off your worldly possessions, leave it for them. What the titling of Al-Imam al-Bukhari would mean is that مَا لَمْ يَكُمْ مَعْصِيَةً. As long as doing so does not involve disobedience to Allah. وَإِنْ أَمَرَكَ أَنْ تَخْرُجَ مِنْ دُنْيَاكَ فَخْرُجْ لَهُمَا مَا لَمْ يَكُمْ مَعْصِيَةً. If they command you to leave your worldly possessions, leave it to them as long as that does not involve disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question secondly that may come to mind is, where is the proof from this hadith that مَا لَمْ يَكُمْ مَعْصِيَةً? That proof is known from the verse of the Quran and from other ahadith. The verse of the Quran wherein Allah says, وَإِنْ جَاهَدَكَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ تُشْرِكَ بِهِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٌ فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. This is the verse that says, we must do and make بِرُّ الْوَالِدَيْنِ مَا لَمْ يَكُمْ مَعْصِيَةً. Likewise, those ahadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that لا طاعة للمخلوق في معصية الخالق, or that إنما الطاعة في المعروف. These kinds of ahadith are the limiting evidences that kindness to parents is obligatory in every circumstance. ما لم يكن معصية. This is from the big and deep fiqh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. The limiting narrations or evidences are not in the evidences, but he had called us to attention from the chapter heading that don't forget that yes, you must make birrul walidain upon the limits of the Sharia, ma lam yakun ma'siyatan. I hope that this hadith is clear, inshallah. The next hadith that follows, and that is the fourth hadith we'll be mainly discussing today, hadith number 19, under the chapter يَبَرُّ وَالِدَيْهِ مَا لَمْ يَكُمْ عَصِيَةً, that the child has the duty to show kindness and dutifulness to his parents as long as that does not involve committing sins. Hadith number 19 in it. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, in this book Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he said, حَدَّثَنَا مُحَمَّدِ ibn كَثِيرٍ قال حدثنا سفيان عن عطاء بن السائب عن أبيه عن عبد الله بن عمرو قال جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال جئت أبايعك على الهجرة وتركت أبوي يبكيان قال ارجع إليهما فأدحكهما كما بكيتهما قال ارجع إليهما فأدحكهما كما بكيتهما. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam told him in the 19th hadith, he says, ارجع إليهما, return to your parents. But from the beginning of the hadith, hadith 19, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, حدثنا محمد بن كثير. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Kathir is the teacher of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith. Muhammad ibn Kathir is Abu Abdullah al-Abadi, rahimahullah. Abu Abdullah al-Abadi, Muhammad ibn Kathir, he said, حَدَّثَنَا Sufyan. If we compare this hadith to hadith number 13, for those of us who have the Arabic copies that have the Afanid, you see that hadith number 13, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, his sheikh in that report was Al-Imam Abu Nu'aym Al-Fadl ibn Dukayn, rahimahullah. But in this isnad, the sheikh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari was Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Kathir. It means Al-Imam al-Bukhari has heard this hadith from two sources, and he has pointed to the two of them in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. The first of them was Al-Imam Abu Nu'aym Al-Fadl ibn Dukayn. The second one is Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Kathir Abu Abdullah Al-Abadi. The two of them, Al-Imam Abu Nu'aym and Muhammad ibn Kathir, have both reported the hadith from Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Sufyan al-Thawri, Sufyan ibn Sa'id al-Thawri. The Abu Nu'aym, Al-Imam Al-Fadl ibn Dukayn, and Muhammad ibn Kathir, Abu Abdullah Al-Abadi, the two of them have reported this hadith from Sufyan. Sufyan here is Al-Imam Sufyan ibn Sa'id al-Thawri, Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah. So the isnad comes to meet themselves from Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah. And Sufyan al-Thawri has reported this hadith from Atwa ibn Sa'id, which is the same isnad with hadith 13 from Sufyan upward. So you have Sufyan al-Thawri reporting this hadith from Atwa ibn Sa'id. Al-Imam Atwa ibn Sa'id, rahimahullah, was so beloved to Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, so much that Imam Ahmad will say, Atwa ibn Sa'id, Fiqatun, Fiqatun, Rajulun, Salihun. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, Imam Ahli Sunnati wal Jama'ah. When he mentions Ata'u ibn Sa'id, he will say, Ata'u ibn Sa'id, Fiqatun, Fiqatun, Rajulun, Salihun. Ata'u ibn Sa'id. To repeat the expression of trustworthiness of an individual is by way of emphasis. Thiqatun, thiqatun, very, very reliable and trustworthy. Rajulun salihun, he was a very, very pious and righteous person. This is Al-Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal talking about the piety of Atwa'u ibn Sa'id, rahimahullah. And Atwa'u ibn Sa'id has reported this hadith from his father, As-Sa'id ibn Maliki. Atwa'u ibn Sa'id, his father is As-Sa'id ibn Maliki. As-Sa'id ibn Malik is the father of Atahu ibn Sa'id, and he is Abu Sa'id. So Abu Sa'id, Atahu ibn Sa'id, his father is Abu Sa'id, As-Sa'id ibn Malik, As-Sakafi, rahimahullah. He is the Tabi'i who is reporting this hadith from Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. This hadith is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhuma, because Abdullah was the companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, and his father Amr ibn al-As was also a companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. I have personally always noted that it appears from this hadith, and Allah knows best, that this is a companion who was very close to his father, who had accepted Islam before his father, who has a very, very close age gap between himself and his father. Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As and his father both have about 10 years in between the two of them. So you see him reporting narrations about Birrul Walidain, because it's something that he has to do. A child has an age gap, an age difference between himself and his father to be just 10 years old. So there is the possibility that there may be infractions between himself and his father. So he pays attention to narrations that have to do with Birrul Walidain. This means that if a person is susceptible to a particular failure, a person is, due to the way Allah has preordained his life, is susceptible to possibly fail in some aspect of the deen. He should pay attention to the narrations that discuss this matter. If a person is usually a trader, pay attention to the narrations regarding trade, so that inshallah by that Allah will protect you from falling into the errors regarding trade. If you are someone who teaches a lot, the aspect that you teach a lot, pay good attention to it, so that by that bismillah Allah protects you from the errors that are connected to what you are doing. If a person is involved in doing something, or somewhat somehow his lifestyle, for example, those who, and I say this a lot, lecturers in the university must pay good attention to narrations that have to do with free mixing. Why? Because they are exposed to it. So paying regular attention to those narrations regarding free mixing and reading about those narrations regarding free mixing will be regular reminders for them. They will be regular reminders for them. So upon narrations regarding relationship dealings between father and mother, you will always see Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. If you know the relationship between his father and himself, you know what that means. You will always see Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. You see the relationship between himself and his father. You will always see people like Abu Huraira radiallahu anhuma. You see Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the relationship between himself and his mother. So you will always see these companions. Bahaz ibn Hakim and Abihi and Jaddihi. His father is Hakim ibn Muawiyah. And you can see the relationship between Muawiyah ibn Haida, the father of Hakim, and the son. You'll always see companions who have children, or children who have parents, paying very, very good attention to relationship, to ahadith that are connected to their father, because they are exposed to these kinds of possible failures that human beings can fall into. But paying good attention to these narrations will be regular reminders. For example, when a brother has a parent and or that son or a sister, anybody who is from the beginning of his life usually exposed to disagreements with his father, now when he understands Islam, he should pay good attention to these kinds of narrations, so that they serve as regular reminders, and the Ibnillah, over the time, he begins to adjust himself and get himself used to having dealings with his father. And of course, they will also remind him about the limits in those kinds of beings. This is what I have personally discovered in these issues of our relationship with our parents, that the companions who have parents who they have to pay attention to have a lot of narrations that have to do with parents, father-parent relationship, father-son relationship, mother-son relationship, and the like of that. Even Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, we narrated his story to us, how his mother was insisting that he should leave Islam and come into Kufr, and all of it. So you always see they have something to do with the practical lives of those who have reported the hadith. So if you know in life that you have a way, you have something you do, and there are guidelines in Islam regarding this matter, pay good attention to those ahadith regarding the matter that you can fall prey, you are susceptible to, or something that you, by day-to-day activity, you get busy to, or an aspect of life that you yourself find that it appears that I am failing in this aspect. For example, someone who works in a place, and he begins to fail in salah, observing salah in jama'ah at the time with the rest of the people. He should start reminding himself about the ahadith concerning the importance of sticking to khamsu salawat in jama'ah, and the ahadith that have to do with the punishment and the caution that the sharia has placed regarding missing salawat in jama'ah with the rest of the people. This is what I have personally found out about ahadith, and ahadith that the companions have reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Wallahi, if you go back to the lives of those companions, you see those narrations that they have really, really been influenced by those narrations. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make what we learn beneficial to us. It means they have actually benefited from the knowledge that they have acquired from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their day-to-day life as Muslims. رضي الله عنهم. عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما said, جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال. A man approached the Prophet Muhammad. A man came to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم and said, جئت أبايعك على الهجرة. O Messenger of Allah, جئت أبايعك على الهجرة. We read this hadith, but we'll go over it again. جئت أبايعك على الهجرة. I have come to pledge, give you an oath of allegiance. I want to pledge to you that I will make hijrah to you. You know, because at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, when they were in Medina after the hijrah to Medina, every person who accepted Islam from the community, you have to make hijrah to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. If you don't make hijrah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, you are exposed to two things. You may be killed by your people, and then your knowledge about the deen will not progress, except those people who have issues of darura that will keep them with their people. Otherwise, the basic rule is, when a person accepted Islam, he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sallam. So this companion came and said, "Ubayyuka al-hijrah." I want to give you oath of allegiance that I'm making hijrah, I'm going to make hijrah, I'm coming to you to begin to stay with you. He says, وَتَرَقْتُ أَبَوَيَّ يَبْكِيَ. But in my doing that, I have left the two of my parents. They are crying. When I made hijrah to you, I would have left the two of my parents. I would have left them crying. This companion, I would have left them weeping. This companion was asking this question from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It appears from the comments of the scholars that I have seen regarding this hadith, it appears that these two parents are Muslims, because right from Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, Al-Imam al-Nawawi, Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar, they are saying that what the Prophet said to him, that he should go back to him, that is if those two amongst the parents are Muslims, upon the condition that these two parents are Muslims. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irji' ilayhima, go back to your parents, go back to your father and your mother, fa'adshikhuma kama أَبْكَيْتَهُمَا. Go back, فَأَدْحِكْهُمَا. Make them smile, make them laugh. كَمَا أَبْكَيْتَهُمَا. Just as you have made them to cry, just as you have made them to cry by your leaving them, go back and make them to smile. Many of the scholars have said that this hijra, upon which the individual was commanded to go back and make the parents to smile as he had made them cry, is regarding parents who are Muslims. It's regarding parents who are Muslims. Al-Imam al-Khattabi also said this after Imam al-Shafi'i. Many of the scholars have said this, that this has to do with parents who are Muslims. And that appears, Allahu A'lam, because of the fact that some of the parents who were non-Muslims were ready to kill their children who are Muslims. Or that the parents who are non-Muslims will prevent this Muslim from, you know, obeying other instructions of Allah, such as observing the Salah. Look at the mother of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas. She was going to kill herself if Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas remained a Muslim. So these kinds of situations, the son is not under the obligation to obey parents when their inclinations are towards sin and disbelief in Allah. And I think this is the reason why Al-Imam al-Bukhari has placed this hadith under this chapter heading. That when the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irji' ilayhima fa'adhikhuma kama abukaitahuma, return to your parents, make them smile, make them be delighted, just as you have made them cry. This must not have to do with committing a sin. They may not want you to leave so that you can stay with them and continue to sin with them. This is not what this hadith is saying. They may not want you to leave by way of pressing you to further disobey Allah. This is not what this hadith means. So to go back to the parents and say, oh, they are crying. For example, a woman that is deprived, I always use this as an example because it is very, very common in our own times. I have seen a sister while we were in the university, who was beaten and thrown to nakedness by her parents because she wore hijab. If this kind of a person chooses to leave these parents, imagine that they are living in a city and then this kind of a woman moves to a place where it should be easy for her to practice her religion. And then the parents begin to cry. This is the point of reference here. If parents begin to cry because of this reason, it is inappropriate to say that the girl should go back to them so that they continue to beat her and throw her to shreds, and then insist that she must not wear hijab in their home, thinking that, oh, after all, the Prophet ﷺ had commanded a companion who made the parents to cry that he should return to the parents and make them to smile as he had made them to cry. Some of the people who are either ignorant or who know these rulings but deliberately want to be mischievous, because these are the two things that lead people to error: ignorance or mischievousness, zulm. Either jahal or zulm. You know the truth, but you want to say other than the truth. It will mislead the individual. So some of the people know that these kinds of reports have restrictions, that those things that will make your parents to smile must not be things of sins. You do not go back to say you want to please the parents over a sin. You do not go back to say you want to please the parents when your religion is endangered. That's why Imam al-Bukhari says, مَا لَمْ يَكُمْ مَعْصِيَةً. As long as what you want to do does not involve committing sins, then إِرْجِعْ إِلَيْهِمَا. I have composed the chapter heading with the meaning of this hadith. As long as مَا لَمْ يَكُمْ مَعْصِيَةً, as long as returning to them and making them smile does not have to do with being disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِرْجِعْ إِلَيْهِمَا. Go back to them فأضحكهما كما أبكيتهما. Make them smile just as you have made them to cry. Unfortunately, it can be the other way around. Sometimes it will be the parents who will be very, very, very righteous. And it will be the child, the girl, or the boy who will be unrighteous. In these kinds of a situation, when the boy says, no, he has abandoned his parents, he has made hijra and ran away. Like many of those who claim to make hijra, to go to a place where they want to fight a jihad that is not established. If you make that kind of a thing, you have to come back. Because one, these parents are Muslims, and the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam is that we must obey these parents, we must be dutiful to them, and when they cry, we must make them smile. So it means you have to know the ruling of what you are doing before you know where to place this hadith. It's not a hadith that you can employ in every situation. As long as your going back does not imply going back to sin, as long as it does not imply going back to jahiliyyah, as long as it does not imply going back to become an enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while trying to have your parents smile, if it does not involve these things, then you have to go back to those parents. فَأَدْحِكْهُمَا كَمَا أَبُكَيْتَهُمَا. You have to make them smile within lawful limits. Don't say you have to make them smile. Oh, daddy, now smile. I have removed my hijab. You can't do this. This is what Al-Imam al-Bukhari is stressing under this chapter heading when he said, مَا لَمْ يَكُمْ مَعْصِيَةً. We must show kindness to our parents. Yes, this study shows that we must show kindness to our parents, but that is within the limits of not being sinful or disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as have been shown in other ahadith and in other verses of the Quran regarding dutifulness to parents. That's the second point I like to emphasize here, even though I had mentioned it under hadith 13. I think it deserves a little bit of a further mention in this case. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irji' ilayhima fa'adhikhuma kama abukaitahuma. It means, one, if, for example, in your dealings with your daddy or with your mother, somehow, you spoke to them in a manner that was not appropriate, you should quickly address the matter and change the situation. If it happens, and it does happen, that was one of the explanations that the scholars have given to that verse in Surah Al-Isra, when he says, رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ إِن تَكُونُوا صَالِحِينَ فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ لِلْأَوَّابِينَ غَفُورًا. رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ. After Allah had warned them, فَلَا تَكُنْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ. The one who has created you and who sustains you, who provides for you, your Rabb, subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ. He knows best what is in your heart. إِن تَكُونُوا صَالِحِينَ. If what you have in mind is a sincere one, it's a truthful one, but it happens that in your speech or in your actions you had erred, but inside your mind you were sincerely only erring. You were sincere that you are concerned, mommy, oh daddy, this is not correct. And it happened that in your sincere care for them not to fall into error, you begin to make statements that are wrong, or you put up an action that will fall under the category of being disrespectful to parents. Allah knows that you are sincere. This is the meaning of this verse. أَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِي نُفُوسِكُمْ إِن تَكُونُوا صَالِحِينَ. If what you have in mind is true, if you are truly a pious child who would not ordinarily say what is bad to his parents, فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ لِلْأَوَّابِينَ غَفُورًا. If you change that situation and turn in repentance to Allah, Allah will forgive you. So this verse is in the meaning of this hadith. إِرْجِعِ إِلَيْهِمَا فَأَدْحِكْهُمَا كَمَا أَبُكَيْتَهُمَا. Go back and address yourself. So for us, this will continue for a long time until we get used to this practice. Because the society and upbringing has spoiled a lot of things
with the people in our own time. May Allah forgive all of us. So we have to start getting used to being a child. One of the early Muslims, if I remember vividly, Al-Imam Muhammad al-Masih is a Tabi, one of the students of Anas ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu. It is said that when he speaks inside his house, something similar to that is also reported about Al-Imam Sa'id ibn Musayyib, who is usually referred to as Sayyid al-Tabi. When they speak inside the house, their voices are low. Why? Their voices are hardly heard when they speak inside the house. Why? Because their parents are inside the house. They don't want to raise a voice in a place where their parents are. These are people who are used to being dutiful to parents. Muhammad ibn Sirin, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. When their parents are at home, they don't make a shout. They don't raise their voice. So people are surprised. Why is it that when at home, your voice is low? See, our parents are at home. You want us to raise the voice in where our parents are. This is not when they talk to their parents. The parent is just at home. They will not raise their voice. It goes to explain how much dutiful they have become, how so used to dutifulness to parents they have been. But in our own times, the father and the mother, children find it bold to shout them down in the name of justice, in the name of speaking their opinion, in the name of saying their take, in the name of giving their opinion. Look here, we are in a free world. So these kinds of ideas, we have to change it while trying to change it. You have changed your decision that I will now become a dutiful child to my parents. But sometimes the mistakes still come up. When you make that mistake, irji ilayhima fadhikhuma kama abqaytahuma. When you make that mistake, go back to your parents, seek their pleasure, make them be happy just as you have made them sad. May Allah forgive all of us. May Allah forgive all of us. It also shows that people should always be willing to return and make tawbah at every point in time. No matter the situation, when you make tawbah, Allah will forgive you. A verse in the Quran really, really entices me on these kinds of issues. Look at Nabiyyu Lut alayhi salam. He only believed in Ibrahim. Allah told us in Al-Ankabut, he says, فَآمَنَ لَهُ لُوتٌ. Lut accepted Iman from the hands of Ibrahim. Amana lahu Lut. Lut accepted Iman from Ibrahim. So what was he? He only accepted Iman. And Allah raised him as Rasul. Many scholars have said these kinds of issues. How about the children of Nabi Ya'qub? They were upon unrighteousness. Look at what they did. They lied to their father. They hurt their brother. They did so many things. And yet, they made repentance. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah was insisting rahimahullah in his al-Majmu' that al-Asbat that Allah talks about in the Quran. قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِالْهَا مَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنْزِلَ إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ وَإِسْمَعِيلُ وَإِسْحَاقُ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَصْبَاطِ. That these Asbat are the brothers of Nabi Yusuf. That they also became prophets of Allah afterwards. So don't say that, oh, I have done so bad and I can't change. No, you can always change. If the person can change regarding his dealings with his mother, you can change also. In fact, each time you have a failing, quickly try to change. Each time you have a failing, quickly try to change. This is also evidence that two friends in quarrel, try to adjust your situation. Go back and make yourself smart. Two brothers, these days many of the brothers determine and direct enmity towards themselves. Reconcile yourself. If we are commanded to go back and make our parents happy, how about those who are lesser than our parents in the degree as far as Islam and right is concerned? How about those? So we can always reconcile, we can always make things work between ourselves. So the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, irji' ilayhima, return to the two of your parents when you make them sad. فَأَدْحِكْهُمَا, make them smile, kama abukaitam, as you admit them to be, try to retrace yourself and get things to be better than they were. Or try to make things good if they were bad. May Allah forgive each and every one of us. The next hadith we like to read, I think that's a 500 hadith. The next hadith we like to read is hadith number 20 under the same chapter. And Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported that hadith from his Shaykh Ali ibn al-Ja'd. Ali ibn al-Ja'd is the teacher of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith. Ali ibn al-Ja'd said, Rahimahullah, Akhbarana Shu'bah. You can see Al-Imam Shu'bah recording in many hadith. Likewise, Sufyan al-Thawri in the last hadith that we read. Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri has had to appoint about 4 times now in this book. So if we are reading 19 hadith, and you have somebody occurring 4 or 5 times, it means it's from the Muqsirun, from amongst those who widely reported a hadith. It means we need to know about it. If you go to the book, 6 books of hadith, all books of hadith, you will always find the likes of Sufyan al-Thawri, Sufyan al-Thawri, Sufyan al-Thawri. Likewise, Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj. You will always find Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj. That's why they have a lot of students, just like they have a lot of teachers. Rahimahumullah. So here, Ali ibn al-Ja'd, the teacher of Abu al-Hasan, the teacher of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith, he has reported this hadith from Al-Imam Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj. And Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj is reporting that hadith from Habib ibn Abi Thabit. Habib ibn Abi Thabit is the one from whom Al-Imam Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj is reporting the hadith. Rahimahumullah. He said, Sami'tu Aba al-Abbas al-A'ma. He said, Sami'tu Aba al-Abbas al-A'ma. رحمه الله عن عبد الله بن عمرو قال جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يريد الجهاد فقال أحيي والداك فقال نعم قال ففيهما فجاهد حدثنا الإمام البخاري حدثنا علي بن الجعد قال أخبرنا شعبة عن حبيب ابن أبي ثابت قال سمعت أبا العباس الأعمى عن عبد الله بن عمرو قال جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يريد الجهاد فقال أحي والداك فقال نعم فقال ففيهما فجاهد Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. You can see him occurring here again in a hadith regarding Birrul Walidain. You find him in many ahadith regarding the rulings between father and child, or mother and child. Radiallahu anhuma. If his father was just 10 years older than him, how many years would there be between himself and his mother? Radiallahu anhuma. جاء رجل إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يريد الجهاد. A man came to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يريد الجهاد. This person wants to go on jihad. Jihad here is jihad al-kuffar. The jihad is its specific meaning.
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me, brothers? Assalamu alaikum. Okay, I think we stop here at hadith 20, inshallah. And we can take a few questions before we go today. We say, Qadarullahi wa masha'a fa'ala. We'll stop at hadith 19. We'll continue, inshallah, from hadith 20 in the next class. If we have a few questions, we can ask them. Abu Yusuf, we have questions? Can we go on with the questions, Abu Yusuf?
Okay, yeah, Sheikhana.
Now, go on with the questions.
All right. The first question we have here says, if the sister you mentioned the last time, what in case the sister has limited options, what should she do in such a case?
If we don't know the options she has and the options she does not have, we cannot resolve that issue. We can only answer the question as general as she has presented it. A woman had been insulting or cursing regarding
her parents. The situation is just to go back, irja ilayhima fa'adhikuma kama abukaytahuma. Go back and resolve the differences. And we had mentioned a few things regarding that in the last class. We cannot talk about what we don't know about. Maybe she should go with her husband to a learned person to seek a clear cut direction and guide about how to go about it. Is it clear, Abu Bar? Now, next question.
Now, the next question says, what's the Islamic ruling on cutting away stored palliative?
Well, I don't think this requires a question. It does not need to be asked. We all know, even those cutting away know what the rulings are. So I don't think it's something that we should be asking about. Everybody, every person, the person who has kept his property in his store, wishing to sell them, and the one who has gone to take the property of someone else he's selling, they all know that it is wrong for the other person to have come to take the property of someone else. Allah told us that in the Quran, in clear-cut verses in the Quran, there are a lot of ahadith about taking over, usurping someone else's property without right. It says that during the last Hajj the Prophet performed, the last and only Hajj he performed.
He says, إِنَّ أَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَاضَكُمْ إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَأَعْرَاضَكُمْ حَرَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ يَا هَذَا فِي يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا وَفِي شَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا. So the property of one person is haram. It's clear cut from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً أَن تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ. Do not take the property of one person, do not take possession of someone else's property, except by pleasure. When you seize his property, is it pleased that you seize his property? These things are very clear. Even those who are not Muslims know the rulings. Not to talk of someone who says, أَشْهَدُ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. He's asking whether taking over someone else's property is allowed. It is very, very wrong for people to do that. And many times things like this have very, very evil repercussions. May Allah protect us all. Now, so we can answer a last question, inshallah, to end the class today. We hope that we have a better situation tomorrow, inshallah.
Inshallah. Okay, the last question, inshallah, the questioner is asking that, how can someone make up a missed rakat al-fajr?
You can observe it in time. Any nafila that an individual observes, he can observe it at any time. He can observe it at any time if you are paying back a nafila you are used to observing. You can observe it at any time, except that two times should be avoided. When the sun is right on the horizon and when the sun is setting, should be avoided. Otherwise, when a person misses a nafila, he's free to observe it whenever he's able to observe it. Allahu alam. Abu Abdul Bari, I think we can stop here, inshallah, today. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us sufficient time tomorrow. Then we can add a few more minutes tomorrow, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Ameen wa antum fa jazakum Allah khair. Ameen.